Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, another drug that we haven't discussed is bevacizumab and what the role of this agent will be. The phase 3 study that really brought attention to this drug presented at ASCO last year by Dr. Escudier. That phase 3 study clearly showed the addition of bevacizumab to interferon was better than interferon.
That was the so-called Avorin trial?
The Avorin trial.
That was updated at ASCO, right?
It was. And what it showed was the data presented was predominantly an analysis of what the effect of reducing the dose of interferon would be. This is of, I think, high relevance to practicing, all of us practicing and academic oncologists, because clearly interferon adds toxicity and convenience. And the bevacizumab, I think many of us feel, is doing the lion's share of the work in that combination.
A minor share in terms of toxicity, probably.
Yeah.
Very side effects.
I think we all hypothesize that that's exactly the case. So the question is, if you need to lower the interferon dose to make this more tolerable, does it adversely affect the activity of the combination? Dr. Escudier's data suggest not, that in fact the combination is just as active if you lower the dose of interferon from 9 million to 6 million or even 3 million. So the logical question is, which really begs to be tested, do you need the interferon alone?
Right. Assuming you get it paid for, or I don't know, do you use bevacizumab outside a protocol setting, and how do you deal with the issue of interferon?
I think this is a regional issue because the reimbursement pattern in my location is very difficult. So I don't use bevacizumab often in renal cell carcinoma. It's a fight to really get this approved. But in other regions, it may be easier.